Hey everybody, this is Pastor Rich, the media pastor here at New Hope Central Oahu. And before we start that countdown, I first wanted to just greet you and say thank you for joining us at Church Online. One of the things we're trying to do here is to create an experience for you that's not just watching church, but is just as engaging and exciting as walking into church in real life. And so to that end, one of the things we'd invite you to do is to go ahead and engage with us in chat. Use your real name. That way people can know who you are, say hi, ask about your family, and you can be part of that community as if you were walking through the doors. And so the other thing we wanted to let you know, too, is that there are people standing by who would love to pray with you. To do that, to access them, there's a live prayer feature right here. So if you click that button, someone is going to connect with you and be able to pray with you in person, somebody you know from our church. There's also the opportunity to call somebody if you would rather just be on the phone. And so that number will be posted throughout the service. And then lastly, if ever you wish to, or you just want to send a note, you can use the connection card to send a prayer request. So with that, let's go ahead and get this countdown started and praise and worship the Lord together as a church ohana.
One thing that is unchanging is that Jesus is alive. And along with 2 billion plus people, we get this weekend to celebrate that Jesus is alive. And he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Well, even if my family is a little camera shy, they are not shy to declare that Jesus is risen.
He is risen indeed.
So let's celebrate the fact that Jesus is alive. He is risen. And that celebrate that this is a glorious day.
You was mine.
Never.
mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. No shadow you won't ride up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
Mike Palumbo here, and I just wanted to give glory to God and bless us all on this glorious Easter weekend, Resurrection Day. And, you know, it's also New Hope Central Oahu's 21st anniversary. Our church was born on Easter. In fact, every one of our ministries, campuses, they were all born on Easter. So the first campus, you know, New Hope Central Oahu was born 1999, and then 10 years later, 2009, Wahiawa was born. So happy anniversary, Wahiawa campus. And then in 2011, Haleiwa was born. So happy anniversary, Haleiwa. And then if you fast forward, you go to the Transformation Academy, which was birthed on 2015 Easter, and then New Hope Spark was birthed on the Easter of 2016. Remember, we first set everything up, you know, for online ministry back in 2016. And, you know, so this has been a glorious, glorious journey these last 21 years. And I give God all glory and honor and thanks for the privilege of being a part of this journey with all of you. And, you know, it's also the Christian birthdays of a lot of people in our church. Going back to Danette Holdren, who came to Christ in 1999. She was one of the first to come to Jesus in our church. And, you know, I think of Pam and Jody Goya, who came to Christ on Easter. So many of us that came to Christ on Easter. And I'm praying that this might be your spiritual birthday as well, those of you that are watching right now. There's no greater day to give your heart to Jesus than Easter. So may this day be that day for you. Your Christian birthday. Aloha ke akua. God bless you, New Hope Central Oahu. And remember, the past was great, but the best is yet to come. Amen. Aloha. Love you guys.
Thank you, Pastor Mike, for responding to Jesus when he showed up in your life 21 plus years ago and gave you a vision for planting this church in Central Oahu called New Hope Central Oahu. And because of that, so many of us are now part of this extended Ohana. And speaking of when God shows up, church, we'll be in this series for this next 6 weeks called When God Shows Up. It is our highest value of our church, where we'll be contending that God shows up in every situation in our lives. And one of the things that we do in these Omni series is that we align everyone in our church to this value. And even our small groups, what we call Ohana groups, will still be meeting. Yes, we'll still be meeting together. Yes, albeit not physically together, but we'll be meeting through our various ways where we can be phone calling each other. We'll be undertaking our times on Zoom meetings and Google Hangouts and the like. But if you would like to be connected and be a part of discussing what we're going to be teaching on our weekend services, let us know by filling out a connection card online and let us know if you would like to be connected. And I will personally give you a call and talk story with you and see which group would fit your perfect needs. So with that, I want to pray that you would enjoy your Easter weekend celebrations. And here now, from our amazing Pastor Rich, who has helped us to go online with great excellence. Hear from him right now with our other announcements.
Aloha, I'm Pastor Rich, and first off, let me welcome you to New Hope Central Oahu Online. If this is your first time with us, we'd love the opportunity to say hi and get to know you better. Through these services, we desire to create an online community that you can belong to, not just create a program that you can watch. We'd like this church to fit your needs, so we invite you to fill out our online connection card. It's easy to do, it takes 30 seconds, and it's your opportunity to tell us about what ministries you're interested in and share your prayer requests with the pastors and the prayer team. Now, I wanted to take this opportunity to tell you about one of the ways that this church is addressing the needs in our community during this COVID-19 crisis, and that's with Aloha Teams. This week, they have sewn over 90 appreciation bags for healthcare workers, and they continue to sew and distribute cloth face masks. And Saturday, they distributed lunches to the kupuna who are living alone. If you want to support what they are doing, or even if you want to be on a team, please visit the Aloha Teams section of our website, nhcohawaii.org, and fill out the form. Now, going through stressful times like this can feel like such a burden sometimes, and our fears and our hang-ups can feel like a weight around our neck, keeping us from moving forward. Well, we want you to know that if you feel that way, there's help available from Celebrate Recovery. Now, watch this video, and I'll be right back with more information. Celebrate Recovery has adapted to these times that we find ourselves in, and they are open and operating. The public portion is live on Facebook on Monday nights at 7 p.m., and then when you're ready to tackle your personal hurts and hang-ups and habits, then you will have an interview that will place you in a closed discussion group. What an opportunity to stop, focus, and finally find freedom. To get started, search Facebook for Celebrate Recovery Wahiwa, Celebrate Recovery Wahiwa, and join them on Monday nights at 7 p.m. Now, for more information about anything else happening at our church, please visit our website, nhcohawaii.org. Now is our time to continue in worship through giving. Now, if you're new to New Hope Central Oahu, then please consider our service as our gift to you. But if you do consider this as your home church, then we would encourage you to give as the Lord leads. How? Well, you can use the give buttons found at the top of this page, or you can visit our website, nhcohawaii.org, and click the Give with PushPay button on the upper right, or you can even text NHCO to 77977 and follow the prompts. All right, let's pray for the offering. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this Easter Sunday where we celebrate your resurrection. And Father, we just ask that these gifts that we give, Lord, would be given from cheerful hearts, Lord, and that you would use them to build your kingdom, that you would continue your work in our hearts and in the community. And Father, that you would be glorified in the use of these. Father, thank you for the opportunity to give. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, now before I invite Pastor Mark up to share God's word with us, there's a very special presentation that I want to share with you. Check it out.
I so love this blessing that is being sung over you so beautifully by Keith and Wendy right now, because, you know, there are some prayers that originate from the heart of man, but then there's this blessing which originates from the heart of God, and it's an ancient prayer, it's an ancient blessing, over 3,000 years old, and it was revealed to a people in a wilderness, just like us. We're in a wilderness right now where the future is uncertain. We don't know what's going to happen next. We don't know where we're going next. And that's exactly what the people of Israel were experiencing in the wilderness. And so what is God's heart for people in the wilderness? It starts off like this. The Lord blesses you and keeps you and makes his face to shine upon you. Now, this is the most powerful prayer we could ever pray over ourselves, not just because it originates from the heart of God, but also because, as you would expect from God, it just gets right to the best thing of all, and that's his presence. So when the Hebrew says to make his face to shine upon you, it's talking about his presence of God. And that's what the Father is blessing us with. Not so much like a point-by-point detailed account of what's going to happen next. We don't know. But instead, that he's going to be with us every step of the way. Isn't that great? That's the beauty of this prayer. And I just want to pray this over all of us in the ancient Hebrew. This is how Moses would have heard it when God first spoke it to him. Yevarechacha Adonai ve'yishbarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav alecha v'chonecha, Yisa Adonai panav alecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
His favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and the children and the children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and the children and the children and the children. May his presence go before you, behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He's with you, he's with you in the morning,
in the evening,
in your coming,
in your going,
in your weeping,
in your rejoicing.
He's for you, he's for you, he's for you,
he's for you.
Reading through the Gospels, it's like Jesus was living a double life. On the one hand, you have the Jesus who's surrounded by multitudes of people. He's engaged in ministry. There are crowds everywhere. I think that's the Jesus we envision, the public Jesus. But the Bible also tells us that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places. Far from the crowds and the busyness of life, he would distance himself at times. As a pastor, I think people are surprised when they find out I'm also an introvert. I guess it seems odd. We have this other pastor in our church. He's very sociable, very bubbly. Many of you know who I'm talking about. His name is Earl. And I'm sort of the yin to his yang, if that makes sense. I mean, I'm not really a student of Chinese philosophy, but we sort of complement one another in that way. And we joke that, you know, canceling all sports and being forced into isolation is like Pastor Earl's worst nightmare. But for me, not so much. And I used to think this was something that Jesus and I had in common. In fact, I'm pretty sure I've probably abused this verse on several occasions, maybe most often at home with my wife, you know. See, honey, even Jesus needed his space, and he was saving the world. But in our hurried, work-driven culture, it's hard to imagine anybody, especially the savior of the world, taking time off. Many of us feel guilty when we take any time to ourselves, but Jesus was alone a lot. So often, we derive our sense of worth from what we do, what we're able to produce, right? I've really been wrestling with my sense of significance and purpose in this season of isolation, not being able to do. We've all been forced into this new rhythm. Many of us feel stuck. But I think solitude reminds us that being comes before doing, that we are worth far more than the results of our efforts, that when everything is stripped away, we realize that life isn't so much a possession to be hoarded, but a gift to be shared. How was it that Jesus was so secure in his being, not his doing? The answer is that when Jesus withdrew to lonely places, he was never alone. When Jesus withdrew, he wasn't running from something, he was running to someone. It wasn't about seclusion, it was about communion. It wasn't about absence, but presence. When Jesus withdrew, God showed up. Now, think about the person you're closest to in the whole world, someone you couldn't imagine life without. Could be a spouse or a best friend, maybe a parent or a child. You know, they say that when two people have been married for long enough, they even start to look like one another. Well, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have been inseparable. They've been one from before time began, for all of eternity. So you and I can only imagine the kind of love, the kind of oneness, the kind of unity they share. And even when Jesus left heaven to come to earth, he continually sought times of connection with the Father. In fact, those times of connection radically shaped his life here on earth. Nearly every significant event in Jesus' life was connected to a time of solitude with God. Before his earthly ministry began, Jesus spent 40 days in isolation with God. Before the choosing of the 12 disciples, Jesus withdrew to a mountainside to pray. After his cousin was beheaded, you know, during the feeding of the 5,000, after the healing of the lepers, the transfiguration leading up to the cross, Jesus withdrew. Church, powerful things can happen from the place of isolation. So many times we say, well, life is too short and I have too much to do. I can't afford to make time for God. And I would say, life is too short and you have too much to do not to make time for God. In this season, many of us have been given an extended time to be with the Lord. Imagine who we would become and what God could do if we take that time. You know something, maybe the thing that blows me away more than anything is that the same passion that Jesus had to be with the Father is the same passion Jesus has to be with you. Easter reminds us that not even death can separate us from the love of God. We're currently living in a time of social distancing. Because of this global pandemic, this virus, all of us have been cut off from loved ones, from family and friends. And in the same way, the Bible says that every single one of us suffers from a debilitating spiritual condition that separates us and cuts us off from God. It's called sin. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." So often we think, well, if God is there, I can't seem to find him. He doesn't seem to hear me. I don't see any evidence of him in my life. We feel cut off or separated from God. And you know something? The Bible says you're absolutely right. But the problem isn't on God's end. It's not that his arm is too short to reach us or that there's something wrong with his hearing. The problem, church, is that because of this deadly virus called sin that has infected every heart, we have spiritually distanced ourselves from God, beginning in the Garden of Eden with patient zero, Adam and Eve, but now spread to every person on earth. All of us have ignored God's warnings. All of us exhibit the symptoms of a sin-filled life, and now we live in isolation from God. And you know, God could have quarantined all of us for all of eternity until the last of us died off, but Jesus did not practice healthy social distancing. The Bible tells us that the Word became flesh. Jesus became one of us, and he made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. You see, you and I practice social distancing, not simply because we could get infected, but maybe more importantly, because we could infect someone else. And it's important that we continue to do that. But Jesus, he was willing to leave the safety and comfort of heaven, where I'm sure there was limitless toilet paper and hand sanitizer. I mean, he was set. But he came because every single one of us needed a cure. And without it, we would surely die. Right now, I think of the selfless men and women, the doctors, the nurses, the first responders in our communities who are on the front lines every day, putting themselves at risk to help others. I read a story not too long ago of a husband and a wife who are both doctors. And every day during their lunch break, they spend time with one another on either side of a glass window, just so that they can be together. I read another story of a doctor who comes home every day, and the only way that he can interact with his daughter, spend time with her, is from behind a glass door. Others are sleeping in campers, away from their family, and others are losing their lives. And that was Jesus. He was willing to be cut off from the person he loved most and even give his very life in order to bring healing to you and I. Jesus closed the distance between God and us, He stepped into our sin-infected world and sacrificed himself so that we might be cured. He took our disease upon himself so that we could receive new life. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. On the cross, Jesus took the disease of our sin so that we could be healed. He was separated from God so that we could come near. He died so that we might live. Jesus closed the distance. You know, this time of distancing and separation reminds me of when my son Judah was born. He was born 7 weeks early, and because of that, he actually needed to stay for about 2.5 weeks in the NICU. And you know, praise God for the doctors and the nurses and the modern technology who were able to save his life. But my wife would often spend the night sleeping in his hospital room, or we would drive all the way from the North Shore to Kapiolani Hospital every day just to see him. And at that time, he was being kept in this incubator. We couldn't really interact with him. There were wires and tubes everywhere. And every day, he's getting blood drawn. He's getting shots. He's getting tested. And you know, as a parent, you want so badly just to get him out of there, just to end his suffering and his discomfort, just to bring your child home. I'll never forget one day, you know, because his lungs hadn't fully developed yet, they actually needed to feed this plastic tube down his throat so he could breathe. And there we were, my wife and I, trying to console him, trying to soothe him as the nurse is putting this tube down his throat. And I'm just standing there watching him crying and then choking as all of this is happening. And it just takes everything within me not to just say, okay, stop, stop, enough, you know, just to end it all. But I knew that without his suffering, my son would probably die. And in that moment, it's like God gave me a tiny glimpse into his heart. I watched through his eyes, the eyes of a father, as Jesus was being crucified, as he was being beaten and whipped and nailed to the cross. And the father could have stopped it at any time. He could have called down heaven's armies to save his son and to bring him home. He could have said, okay, stop, enough. Then I heard the voice of God say, but I knew without his suffering, you would die. So the father allowed it to happen. Church, I want you to take a moment right now and ask yourself, am I separated from God? If I were to die today, could I honestly say that I know God? You see, Jesus died to close the distance between us and God. If you put your faith in Jesus and believe that he died for you, the Bible says that there is now nothing that can separate you from his love. Those barriers have been torn down, and you can be cleansed of your sin once and for all. With the moments we have left, I want you to be able to know that you know that you know that God has forgiven you and that you are no longer separated from him. If that's you, wherever you're watching from right now, I want you to pray this after me, just loud enough that you can hear yourself. Let's pray this together. Repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you that you came to die for me. Thank you for forgiving me and removing my sin. I believe you died to save me. I want to live for you. Help me to know you more and more. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer with me, then you have taken your first steps toward knowing God. Your old sin no longer separates you from him, and you can draw closer to him than ever before. Hey, let us know that you responded to God tonight or today by raising your hand somewhere on the screen. And you know, we look forward to connecting with you, hopefully someday in person soon. We're all believing and praying that this crisis will be over soon. But if there's one thing Easter shows us, it's that God is able to work all things together for good. Not even death and suffering can keep God's will from happening. And like Jesus, just because you're in a lonely place does not mean you're alone. God can do powerful things from the place of isolation. The grave could not hold Jesus down, and you and I will emerge from this season stronger than ever before.
We're so glad you could join us for our Easter services. May the rest of your Easter weekend go well. And remember, Jesus is risen. Until we see you next week and have you join in again with us, aloha.